Good morning. If you're a part of our church family, we're so glad to see you this morning. If you are visiting, we are doubly honored that you're here with us. We hope this morning that we'll be able to learn some things from God's Word that will help us in our daily Christian walk. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. When my kids were young, I took on the grand task of coaching them in basketball. I'll tell you, as a parent, never had coached before, I was a nervous wreck. I was nervous. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know, am I going to look like a fool when I get out on the court? Had all these things planned out in my mind. Well, if this happens, I'm going to do this. If that happens, we're going to do this. And we practiced, and we had everything seemingly in order. And when that whistle blew, it looked like 10 piranhas on a hot dog. And at that moment, I was like, whew, I don't have to worry about a thing. They migrated to wherever the ball was. If it was on this side of the court, they were there. And it was just chaotic. But as time progressed and we practiced and we played and we studied the rules and we got more familiar with the game as the players and the coach, we built a relationship, things started looking a little better. And then Andrew came along, and he was going to play basketball. And the referee came to me after the game. He said, you probably should think about putting that boy in football, not basketball. I didn't have the confidence when I first started coaching. I later became a coach at the high school level. My confidence grew. I stuck with it. I loved it. What about our confidence in the Lord? What about our confidence in His church? What about our confidence in our Word? Our topic this morning is blessed assurance. Do we possess, as Christians, the confidence that God expects us to have? Oh, we have the assurance, we have the full assurance of faith, but do we have the confidence in that assurance that God promises us? Why do we lack confidence? We want to offer you this morning some thoughts to help our confidence in the assurance God gives us through His Word, the Bible. Just briefly, take a moment and think about the things that I'm going to say. Have you ever given opportunity in your mind to grasp some of the widely known facts about the Bible, God's holy book? Listen to these things. The Bible is a literary masterpiece by any standard that all levels of readers can understand and comprehend. The Bible contains laws, rules, history, accurate geography, poetry, songs, wisdom sayings, and proverbs, the gospels, letters, and apocalyptic writings. Its longevity breezes past man's comprehension. The Bible has endured time with its unpredictability. It has endured mankind, natural disasters, wars, and much evil, including Satan's relentless attacks against it. It will stand forever. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. My word shall never pass away. The Bible is inerrant, supreme in its accuracy, unmatched in its wisdom, and glorious in its plan. God has given His word and His plan to save mankind from sin. If applied, the Bible betters everyone's life. By its teachings, governments are stronger and families thrive by its precepts. The Bible truths are bound by prophecy and fulfillment and complete unity. Its depth has no limit. It reaches, its riches embody love and truth. The Bible was written by about 40 men on three different continents over about 1,500 years. From beginning to end, God has spoken. Oh, what a book. It's a wonderful book. It's perfect in all its ways. Now that we've covered that, the who and the what and the why, let's look at the how. How does that relate to our blessed assurance? That's pretty deep. And all that information, God has provided for us assurance that He is who He says that He is. How can we know this with certainty? And how can we see God's expectations for His people? By His word. It's not from man, not from within yourself. It's not from feelings. And even if the Apostle Paul or an angel from heaven preached anything different, Paul said, let him be accursed. Now here's some hows and some how nots to approach God's word and apply it to our lives, or not to apply it to our lives. God gives us detailed information about what we are to do in regards to His word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. 1 John 5:13 and 14, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is a confidence builder. When we see 1 John chapter 5, 13 and 14, these things are written. We have written confirmation. If we do the things God tells us to do, we can be assured that we have eternal life. Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. There's a have not. Don't do that. The person who trusts in his own heart is a fool. We need to lean on God and His word. Jeremiah 17:5-8. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding, but in all thy ways trust in Him, and He will direct our paths. Psalm 119:105. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. We must learn not to go beyond what is written. It's the standard. It's the pattern. We can't trust ourselves. We have to have complete reliance on God and His Word. Note this. God is true, and every man is a liar. The truth that we search for is God's revealed Word. We are so blessed to have this. We can pick it up anywhere in town. I would say that most families have at least 5 copies, if not more. That's great. But don't let it lay on the shelf. And again, as I was saying, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul wrote, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed." Let him be accursed. It's written down for us. We can study it. We can be assured that God has given everything that we need. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work. That's pretty clear. I think that's very clear that we are to rely on God and His Word. If we want to know God, we better get our nose in this book. We better set time to study. Just like in class this morning, that was one of the things that, how can we draw closer to God in the morning time and in the evening? Meditate upon God's Word. God has spent a lot of time and energy to give mankind His holy word. Now, after we read that word and study it, we will find some interesting things which God Himself promises His children. That goes back to our title of the lesson, Blessed Assurance. One promise you can rest assured of, if you are not God's child, is that He will take vengeance on you. We don't want to be in that situation in the last day. We want to make sure our feet are on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. God promises damnation and separation if we do not know Him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 8 and 9. I invite you to read that. That's one of the scariest, to me, passages in all the New Testament. God's going to take vengeance, but we don't have to be in that position. That's the great thing about this lesson. We have assurance that we can know that we have eternal life. Something to note. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 tells us to draw near to God with a true heart in fullness of faith. And in Romans chapter 14, 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. The Bible is with certainty God's Word. We can rest assured. The more I study, the deeper my faith grows. Things in this book, God's Holy Word, there's no way, not a chance, that man had anything to do with it. If you look at all the prophecies, which we just spoke about, and the list of things that the Bible presents to us, the prophecies are amazing. The types and the antitypes, they are amazing. God has given all this to us so we could have assurance. We must have confidence in God's assurance. God desires for us to have this confidence. It's a command. So if we lack confidence, we need to work it out. We need to study more of God's Word. We need to figure out within ourselves what it is that we need to do to draw closer to God. There again, with a little study and a little reading, some reasoning, we can know some very important things. We don't have to doubt. That's wonderful. We don't have to doubt. God has given His direction and the things that He wants us to do in His Word. And He backs it up by keeping His promises. We don't have to guess. We don't have to guess at what God wants us to do. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to guess. We can be assured that God keeps His promises as we read and study His Word. We don't have to wonder if we're doing right or wrong. We can know. I like a little direction. As Brooke was talking this morning, he likes a little structure. The Bible is full of structure. Commandments. I like commandments. I like to know where I stand with God. And it's very clear. If we love God, we'll keep His commandments. We can know that we have everything that we need. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's assurance. It's in here. It's in this book. We can be bold in our petitions. In our prayers to God, the God of heaven, as His children, Ephesians chapter 1, those blessings that are in Christ Jesus, we can be assured that He hears those prayers. We can be bold in that regard. We can ask for things that we need in our lives and those things that ultimately benefit the Lord and His kingdom. We can have full confidence in the proclamation of the gospel. God doesn't lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. He can't do it. So when He tells us to proclaim His gospel, we can have confidence when we teach that one gospel that comes out of the one Bible that He has given us. We can have confidence that it leads us into the one church. I invite you to check out Ephesians chapter 4. The ones. There's one church. And we can be confident when we proclaim that gospel message that Jesus will keep His promises in regards to your salvation. He will add you to the church. And ultimately, it will be delivered back to the Father in heaven, that wonderful and glorious church that we all can be a part of. Here's the thing that most will ask, or most will, I guess, give an opinion. Do you know if you're going to heaven or not? We hear that question asked maybe on TV a lot. Maybe that's something that we ask our coworkers, our friends, our family. do you know if you're going to heaven or not? Some people's answer will be, well, I hope so. I hope so. I don't want to answer it like that. Yeah, there's a certain amount of hope. We're hoping toward the promises of God, obviously. But I want to be confident. We should be more confident as Christians to know that we have obeyed the pattern that God has set before us. God cannot lie again. It's impossible for Him to do that. I lean on that very fact, that if He has made a promise, He's going to keep it in the end. God wants all men. He wants us all to be saved. Each and every one of us, God recognizes as His creation. We are unique. We are a soul with a body. Each soul is unique. There's no duplicates. And God desires every single one of us to be saved. Why do I know that? That very simple Bible verse that most of us were taught as a youth, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is how I know that God desires us to be saved. He gave His only Son. He gave His life. His Son gave His life for us. God sent His Son to this earth that you and I would have opportunity to obey the gospel. Mark 16:15-16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Colossians 1:13, He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That is assurance. That's a promise that God has given us. We want to be a part of that church that Jesus is going to save, Ephesians 5:23. He's the Savior of the body, which is the church, Ephesians 1:23-24. We see an amazing account, several amazing accounts in the New Testament, when Jesus rose from the grave and He was seen among men. 1 Corinthians 15, I invite you to read that on your own time, study. He was seen of about 500. Very evident that Jesus arose from the grave. Very evident in Acts 1 when we see His ascension, when the apostles seen the ascension of Him into heaven. And what did He say? Why are you standing here gazing? You see Me going to heaven, I'm going to come back in like manner. That's a promise that Jesus has given us. Are we able to, through this lesson, value what God has given us in His holy word? The sheer volume of that wonderful book we call the Bible. Do we value its content? Do we set time aside to study and to meditate upon it? Can you set aside your doubts and fully have confidence in the assurance that Jesus gives us that He has made a home for us in heaven if we will just obey Him? I'm confident in that. That's why I'm here this morning. That's why I'm here to gather around the Lord's table, to proclaim his death till he comes again. We memorialize his suffering and what he did for us on the cross. It's a wonderful thing to be part of God's family. At the end of each and every service, we give opportunity for those of our own number, our members, if we have things that need to be prayed about, sin that may be needed to confession and help from your brothers and sisters. We're willing here at Eastside to pray for you and to help you through those problems. We're human. That's just a fact. We're human. We're just an old ball of clay. And as Marshall Keeble said, if you don't believe that, well, then you just die. We are going back to dust. But if you haven't obeyed the gospel, it wouldn't be a better time than now. You know, it doesn't have to be on a Sunday morning or Sunday night at 11 o'clock or 7 o'clock or Wednesday evening at 5 or 6 o'clock. There's no set time to obey the gospel. But we do know this. When the gospel message in the book of Acts was preached and taught, people obeyed it then and there. When they believed it and they were willing to put their faith and trust in God and obey it, some was at after midnight, all times of the day. It was immediate. So as we stand and sing, we get our song. If you have a need this morning, need the prayers of the church, or need to put on our Lord in baptism, we ask you to do that as together we stand and sing.